Let us pray. Heavenly Father, again, we're grateful to be in this house, Lord, that's dedicated to you at this particular time, Father, that your word may go forth. We trust in the way it's supposed to go forth, purely, clearly, Lord, without any wrong motivation, without anything that's said that might not be of you, Lord. We pray, O God, that the trumpet shall make a certain sound, that men shall prepare for the battle of the end time. Be ready, Lord, to withstand all the onslaughts of the gates of hell, which are against the truth of your presence, Lord. Help us to realize in humility in the depths of our hearts of gratitude, Lord, what we have been given, what's been entrusted into our hearts, our minds, and our hands at this hour. Lord, which of the kingdom of God is built, we realize, Lord, that this church at the end time is approaching unto the very headstone physically. Already we believe the spiritual headstone is amongst us. So, Father, we just commend ourselves to you and asking for your help, and we'll be careful to give you the praise. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You may be seated. Now, we're of course continuing in Christ as a Mystery of God Review, number 14. And in considering our title that Christ is the Revealer, and also the dispeller of the mystery in which God was veiled, or actually is veiled, we might consider reading Luke 10, 21 to 24, and especially verse 22 as part of the scripture involved in this particular title. All right, in that hour Jesus rejoiced in spirit and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes, even so, Father, for it seemed good in thy sight. All things are delivered to me of my Father, and no man knoweth who the Son is but the Father, and who the Father is but the Son, and he to whom the Son will reveal him. And he turned him unto his disciples and said privately, Blessed are the eyes which see the things that you see. For I tell you that many prophets and kings have desired to see those things which you see and have not seen them, and to hear those things which you hear and have not heard them. And of course, the major scripture there, all things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knoweth who the Son is but the Father, and who the Father is but the Son, and he to whom the Son will reveal him. So it tells you there conclusively that Christ came to reveal the Father, and since he has come back in the form of the Holy Spirit, he has never ceased to reveal God, who in the original is the Holy Spirit, the office of fatherhood. Now, 2,000 years ago, when God veiled himself in the prophet Christ Jesus, he revealed himself to his chosen people, but they refused him, for the Bible says he came unto his own, but his own refused him. And today he has revealed himself to the Gentiles at the end of their dispensation, even as he revealed himself at the end of Israel's dispensation. Now, I want you to notice that particularity, that Israel, at the end of their dispensation when God turned from them, is when Christ came and revealed Almighty God to them. And of course, they turned him down. As Brother Branham said, the token comes at evening time. He comes at the end, and he was that token. See, he was, definitely. Now, the same thing in our hour, of course, is that we turn him down at the end of our dispensation when he comes in the form of the Holy Spirit in order to reveal God as it is necessary according to the Scripture that he do so. Now, remember, everything must be according to Scripture. And there is where man fails God at all times. He does not want to come according to Scripture, even according to man's understanding of the fundamental, stricter sense. He doesn't want that. So when it comes to the true revelation, he absolutely does not want a part of it. Now, watch again in what we're saying here. In our Scriptures, Ephesians 1 and 17. Of course, we read, first of all, 16, Cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Now you'll notice there it tells you that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, wants to give a revelation concerning himself at this end time, previous to the resurrection. Now you'll notice there's only one way that that can be given. That must be given by the Christ who is not here in the form of flesh, but he is here in the form of the Holy Spirit in a pillar of fire and using a prophet. Also, we would read Matthew 12 and 18, which we have read many times to you, but this is all part of the message, and we cannot repeat it too often. Behold my servant whom I have chosen, my beloved, in whom my soul is well pleased. I'll put my spirit upon him, and he shall show judgment to the Gentiles. Now, there it says he brings justice and a just cause to victory. A little later on down here. This is what he's doing. He shall not strive and so on. So we, well, I might as well read it. Nor cry, neither shall any man hear his voice in the streets. A bruised reed shall he not break, and smoking flax shall he not quench, till he send forth judgment unto victory. In other words, he brings justice and the just cause, which is his cause, to a victory. Which, of course, you understand, it will mean at this time the consummation of God's plan will come to the Gentiles through Christ himself. That's exactly what Paul said. You know, years ago I went to a little kind of flimsy Bible school about 6 weeks. I walked up before they kicked me out. I didn't want to get kicked out or carried out, so I walked out. I knew the axe was going to fall. And you know, they have the idea that the gospel of Paul to the Gentiles, which was the promise to Abraham, wherein the Gentiles would come in, that was not known until Paul brought it to their attention. And that's a lie, because all you got to do is to read the gospels, and you'll find out that Jesus brought it to the people, even as we see it right here. And so, we find that at the end time, Jesus is already speaking concerning himself, that he is going to do something for the Gentiles. And it's going to be, of course, by the Holy Spirit, because he does not appear to us in a ministry in the form of the flesh. No way, shape, and form. See, even every fundamentalist knows that. But they cannot place this here. Now, also, this runs in continuity with Revelation 10, 1-7. And it says here, I saw another mighty messenger come down from heaven, clothed with the cloud, and a rainbow was upon his head, and his face was as it were the sun, and his feet as pillars of fire. Now, you know that's got to be God in the form, the messenger form. God messaging his own message. He's his own messenger bringing his own message. And remember, the message and messenger is always one. All right. His face, as it were, the sun. His feet as a pillar of fire. Now, what you're looking at here is actually Revelation chapter 1, about verse, 13, 14 in there. All right. He had in his right hand a little book. Well, that's the little book. That's the one that sat on the throne, had the book, and nobody could open it. So the Lamb took the book, ripped the seals off, and loosed the seals, and gave it back to the one on the throne. So this is the one with the book. And you notice he comes down here with the book open. And that's exactly the way God came down to Israel. He opened the book in Luke 4. And he shut the book, and nobody can open the book. Only God would open that book. The same one could open the book that had the right to close it and terminate a certain period of time. All right, now he comes down and he does it. And he cried with a loud voice as when a lion roareth. And when he cried, seven thunders uttered their voices. When the seven thunders uttered their voices, I was about to write. Now remember that those are upon earth. Now John was caught up in a vision, but this comes down to earth. You see? And I heard a voice then to seal up those things that the seven thunders uttered, and write them not. And the messenger which I saw stand upon the scene upon the earth lift up his hand heaven, and swore by him that liveth forever and ever, created heaven, the things that therein are, and the earth, and the things that therein are, and the sea, and the things which are therein, that there should be time no longer. Now the word is going to run out. But in the days of the voice of the seventh messenger. Now you notice in here, this doesn't say the mighty messenger up here. This is another messenger. And this is number seven. And remember, there are seven messengers in seven church ages. Now, that's simple as ABC, because this one here is already on earth when this one comes down. If God's going to come down, there's got to be a prophet. Always got to be a prophet ready. Like we showed you that, I think, last Sunday, that God had to make man first of all. But then, you see, you notice he put man in the garden, then he came down. See, always there's got to be the man here before God comes down. And that's exempting original creation. From that point on, you always have the same. There's never anything out of balance. The mystery of God should be finished, as he had declared the gospel or the good news to by his servants, the prophets. Now, it tells you right here that the mystery that God started and moved on down, pouring it into the church through Christ, would be terminated at the end time by God himself appearing and doing it, and a prophet would be there in order to be the conduit for God. God's always got to have a conduit. Like the Word is a conduit for the Holy Spirit. And also the man is the conduit for the Word, for the Holy Spirit to come through. And when God gives a word by prophet, he's got to have a conduit. There's always got to be a conduit, you see, because you've got to realize this is what God is all about. The great, invisible, unknown God wants to bring himself into preeminence, wants to manifest himself, but he's got to have something and somehow to manifest himself to this people, and he's going to do it a certain way. And then you see that makes him God, because then he'll have worship and the preeminence, because God means the supreme one. So, all right, today we see the revealed, today God has revealed himself to the Gentiles at the end of their dispensation, even as he revealed himself at the end of Israel's dispensation. All which you notice, the light comes at the evening time. See? Like in, when the children of Israel were down in Egypt. That was evening time. Bible mentions pitch dark, only light in Goshen. Light came at that time. He cut off a dispensation. The 400 years of bondage, now they're going to go to the promised land. Now you notice what happened at the end of the 2,000 years. Israel is about to be completely divorced from God, except under the fifth seal of election. Light comes at evening time. God comes down. Now, it's got to be that way because that's the way God does things. And people, because they just don't look in Scripture and realize how God does things, they get lost and they say, well, I don't understand this. Then they get their own ideas, and your own ideas aren't any good. Amen. If they were any good, God would have told you to write the Bible. See? It won't work. So, all right. Now, in this message, Christ the Mystery of God Revealed, which we are now studying, we find that Brother Branham takes special pains to show us that in this hour, Christ, the anointing, is again revealing God, and we are seeing and hearing those things that have been sealed up for about 2,000 years, those things that all seven church ages have longed to see and hear, whether they be prophets, kings, or whatever. That's what he told Israel. He said, you're the fortunate ones because you're able to see and to hear that which others wanted to hear, and they couldn't do it. And that's true. Because remember, David was not alive to see Christ come upon the earth. Isaiah was not alive to see the virgin who was going to bring forth the baby without male intervention. They just weren't. They wanted to see it. And you know they didn't until the resurrection. And then they missed that. No matter how they longed, it just wasn't going to work. And you know people have longed for 2,000 years to see what we're seeing, and we're too complacent about it, or we're apt to get a little bit smug about it, when all the glory goes to God, because God is doing this thing. Though we're not puppets, we got a choice, but we're allowed to be a part of it. Now, we have read how the prophet dwelt upon God indwelling Jesus. So many times, he quote, this is my beloved son, in whom I am pleased to dwell. He called it God manifested in Christ. And at that time, the serpent seed Pharisees called Jesus Satan. Now that's true. Those people said, look, we are the children of God. We are the seed of Abraham. Absolutely, we are the in ones with God. Chosen race. Hallelujah. And they said, that fellow there is Beelzebub. And Jesus said, you are of the devil. And here is the devil's bunch and the spirit of the devil, because let's face it, all people don't like preaching like this. Oh, Brother Branham really rankled the feathers, and he got the hackles up on the people. But Brother Branham, you're crude. You're terrible to say those horrible things. Ha! Listen, that man was in the mold of Jesus as the prophets had to be, and God and the prophets, and he was anything but he was what he was, I'd just walk out in him, period. I wouldn't be interested. Because God doesn't send prophets just to fool around. Well, Jesus said, all right, you are of your father the devil. He pinpointed them that they were serpent seed in the line of Cain. See, they didn't understand election. It was there before them, but they turned it down. Now he said, you are of the devil. Now here is the devil bunch and the devil spirit calling God the devil, and they worshiping the devil as though it's God. You got the same thing right today. You think the churches out there worship God? Listen, brother, sister, have you sat in my ministry so long you're not catching these things? Now, the day I told you it was going over your heads, I knew that, but I didn't know why.
So Dave asked me. I was put on the spot, and I had to think fast. But God never lets me down. Because I'm not up here to make mistakes. Churches are worshiping the devil. Do you hear what I'm saying? You don't really hear what I'm saying, and I don't know what I'm saying either. Except I know it's the truth. It hasn't sunk in yet. It hasn't sunk in that they are literally worshiping the spirit of the devil. Because they're calling this spirit of the devil. Now you better make up your mind which way your bread's buttered, which way you're going. Because you see, we'll be reading a little bit of what the prophet said, and there's going to be a squeeze come on down. And just like his tape's gone around the world, my tape's gone around the world. His sermon's in print, a lot of my sermons are in print. There's more going into print. So we're on the spot. We're on the spot by being associated. William Branham was associated with God, and you're on the spot being associated with me, whichever way you look at it. Which is pretty tough for all of us. But I tell you, as long as our association with God, it's all right. Now, after Brother Branham dealt with God manifested in Christ, he turned to deal with God manifested in the true church. Thus, we're going to read paragraph 2 on page 58, and we'll continue our studies, and we're going to go real slow, because I don't intend to go too fast. We're not going to get through less than 20 sermons anyway, so we might as well just forget it. All right, notice, secondly, the manifested Christ in you, the hope of glory. That great manifested God in Christ, now manifested in you. All right. He says, first of all, notice, secondly, the manifested Christ. He was really saying, God manifested in Christ, and this one that was manifested by God also as he manifested God. See? Watch it go both ways. That this is indeed the Christ. Now follow what I said. It's the same thing as the prophet. The prophet had to be vindicated or manifested for him to manifest God. It worked together. So therefore, to manifest Christ, he had to manifest in Christ. You've got to bring them together. All right. This one then here. The great manifested Christ. This is Messiah. This is the Son of God. This is the Beloved. This is the Promised One. See? And his name should be called Wonderful, the Mighty God, Everlasting Father. This one in whom God indwelt. God literally manifested. This is my beloved Son in whom I am pleased to dwell. God manifesting the Son and the Son manifesting God. And without a revelation, you can't get it. Now, Brother Branham says here, Christ manifested in you the hope of glory. Now, that manifestation is not going to be the same manifestation when God manifested in Christ, manifesting that this was the Christ. Because you're not going to have what he had, and I won't have, nor will anybody have, except an end time prophet, or a genuine prophet, whether end time or not, who will have this privilege. The manifestation is of a different order. So let's read the manifestation. What's in the bride, and what obtains, or what devolves upon you and me. Okay, we'll take it from where it's written. Colossians 1:19-29, beginning. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. Now, I've taken that scripture because that's where it ends, where it mentions that God was pleased to dwell in Christ. Brother Branham read this. This is the scripture he read for this sermon. And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him I say, whether they be things on earth or things in heaven. And you, that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now he is reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight, if you continue in the faith grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel. Now, he's not talking to the individual here. That's the church. That's the church. And you realize that the church at the end time will not move, period. They all move. The first church was a fallen woman. Now, just a minute, the elect will never fall. That's true. We're talking about the broad spectrum. Those that listen to the Pauline message. You know, we talked a couple Sundays ago how they had the little council down in Jerusalem. And you know, the false brethren brought in unawares. They pussyfooted in there, got amongst the true believers. And the true believers were literally gommed up, as Brother Branham said. You had the same thing happen in the Nicene Council. That was no sin for preachers to get together. But it's a pretty risky thing unless you know what you're doing. And follow the word of God letter by letter. If you continue in the faith ground and settled. Cain didn't do it. The church didn't do it. And be not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you have heard, and which was preached to every creature, which is under heaven, where Paul had made a minister. Now, he said, preach to every creature under heaven. What does he mean there? Did every single creature hear? No, every creature that was under heaven that heard him. He didn't preach to every creature under heaven. Fact. Who now rejoice in my sufferings for you, and fill up that which is behind the afflictions of Christ. Let's see how far I want to read here. Yeah, to 29. in the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake, which is the church, whereof I am made a minister according to dispensation of God, which is given to you, to me for you, to fulfill the word of God, even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now made manifest to his saints. To whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Now notice, it doesn't say that the saints were making it manifest. It said it was made manifest to the saints. That's why he said, if you move from this faith, which was manifested to you, you haven't got it. You following? You better follow, because we're going to get into pretty heavy stuff here. Because Brother Branham can sure whip you around if you don't know what's going on. Because you see, your minds will still be back in the dark ages of fundamentalism. Yep. If you men think you got it hard, what do you do with some of my dear sisters, the Miller's sister sitting here, and they went to Bob Jones University? Where they get a lot of theology thrown at them. You all had it. I thought I'd bring that in. They're well-educated girls. But you see, their education didn't hinder them. They came to the Word. Notice he said, Christ in over glory, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. Whereunto I also labor striving, according to his working, which worketh mighty in me. Now I'm going to skip the second chapter and go to chapter 3. And begin reading. If you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sits at the right hand of God. Set your affection, your love on things above, not on things of the earth. For you are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. He's not talking here now about a supernatural manifestation. He's talking about a life. He's talking about a rebirth that comes from what was manifested. A life that's now imparted to you. We'll read a little bit here if we get to it tonight, if we can. From Thinking Man's Filter. Now, for you are dead, your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, that's made thoroughly manifest exactly according of how and what he is. Now, that had happened to Paul. That was out in the desert. Now, this is going to happen at the end time. Then you shall also be perfectly manifested in glory. Mortify, therefore, your members which are upon earth. Now, here's what we're supposed to do. Fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, covetous, which is idolatry, for which things sake the wrath of God comes on the children of disobedience, in the which also you walk sometimes when ye lived in them. Now, what the walk is what's here. You and I don't manifest God to the world and try to prove anything. We have a walk. That's where Pentecost made this great mistake. Everybody's got to be a divine healer. Every woman's got to be a preacher. Every man's got to be a thunderbolt. Well, they done lost their thunder. You know why? Because their lightning went. You better not have any noise unless you got a spark, brother, sister. Yeah. You know, the old black preacher said, he's what I lacked in lightning, I made up in thunder. I got news for you. It's your own lightning if you're just thundering around. You better think of those thunders on earth, too. What ignited it? Yeah. The Holy Spirit, God himself, coming down. You don't get a thunder burst of the lightning. And you can tell just how far that lightning is away by the time it takes the thunder to get to you, the sound of it, and we heard him. I was sitting there under the opening of the seven seals. And I don't think, 2 miles from where God dealt with the prophet. Makes you think, doesn't it? Let's think some more. Lie not one to another, seeing you put off the old man with his deeds. Oh, said, first of all, 8, but now you also put off these anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one another, seeing you put off the old man with his deeds, and put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge, after the image of him that created. Notice what you and I have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge, after the image of him that created him. Where there's neither Greek nor Jew, barbarian, circumcision, uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond or free, but Christ is all in all. Put on, therefore, as elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy. kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, and long-suffering, forbearing one another, forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so do you also. And above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also ye are called to one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns, and spiritual songs, and singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatever you do indeed, word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Well, there you are, see? That's an entirely different story from a prophet coming manifesting God, from Christ Jesus, our great prophet, who manifested Almighty God. See, there's your hope of glory. Now, he said the great manifested God in Christ now manifested in you. Let's go a little further. Let's take 2 Corinthians. As I say, we're taking our time because we want to get Scripture. We're not against gifts of healing and power in the church. We're not against that. Those are just signs. There's no great virtue there, because those gifts absolutely can be upon wicked people, even as these can be. But there's got to be manifestation. But we're just reading anyway. 2 Corinthians, the 4th chapter, 6 to 18. For God, who commanded the darkness to shine, the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. It tells you right there that the life in you is going to be by the Holy Spirit, not your own living. You notice it says what it is, by the knowledge of the God. Now watch what Paul said. We're troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We're perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in the flesh. Notice that? What makes the life of Jesus manifest? Not signs and wonders and great things. That doesn't evolve upon you. That's not incumbent upon you whatsoever. This is. Bearing and forbearing and suffering. See, this is the manifestation. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life of Jesus also might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. What life made manifest? The humility. The lamb. Led by a dove. See, there's where the bride either is going to make it or not make it. See, the church has received her last sign, the last manifestation. Now let's just go on believing, and the only difference between us is this from the rest of them. We have a certain knowledge and revelation of God that was made manifest and proven to be that one. Nobody else has got it. You're not different, brother, sister. In fact, you'll be inferior in many ways. The church out there produced more love, produced more gifts, produced everything. You'll come back wondering, what have I got anyway? Just give it a chance. There's a conduit of life there. A sleeve within a sleeve, a conduit within a conduit. Don't you worry. Either this book's a lie or it's the truth, one of the two. May have to wait a bit, but it'll be there. Now, so then death works in us, but life in you. Notice it, death works in us and life in you. You're going your way, apart from the knowledge of God. And we're dead to everything else but it. We having the same spirit of faith according as it is written, I believed and therefore have I spoken. We also believe and therefore speak. There's Brother Branham's dictum. Once more, they had not yet come together to talk the message. Knowing that he which raised up our Lord Jesus shall raise us up also by Jesus and to present us with you. The very same thing. Christ in our midst, proving he's risen from the dead. And we go talking it everywhere. Because it's based on a revelation which is irrevocable, which cannot be challenged. Oh, it'll be denied. There's only a challenge when they can produce the same thing. Yeah. Otherwise, there's no challenge.
Yeah. Amen.
It's hogwash.
Yeah.
It's the big mouth running off. The sneer. The innuendo. The great pride of Satan. The fancy words. The numbers. Here's a numbers racket out there, all right. The biggest church in town. For all things were for your sakes, the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. For which cause we faint not. What thanksgiving is that? The thanksgiving of election. Let's hold our finger there. We'll go back to this scripture again. Let's go to 2 Thessalonians. Go on. Here's the time of the Antichrist. They don't believe the truth. They got pleasure in unrighteousness, which is the way of Cain, worshiping God in their own delusions. Verse 13, but we are bound to give thanks to God for you, brethren, always. Notice, we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved in the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation. Chosen you. Predestination, election. Through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth, whereunto he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. There's a glory and there's a glory. And there's a glory at the end time that doesn't fade. If Luther's glory was great, and Wesley's greater, and Pentecost greater, what about this glory? It'll never fade. That's the glory we're speaking of 2 Corinthians here. Where we read it. God commanded the light to shine in the darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Now we're talking about a resurrection. Now, for which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. You know, Brother Branham's, the camera took the picture of that? The outer man perishing, the inner man renewing. A picture of resurrection? We in a spiritual one? For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Why, we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things that are not seen are eternal. But we've already had, through the ministry of a prophet, and Christ in that prophet, making that ministry, we have seen the invisible. Yeah. And that invisible says, Eden's just around the corner. See? All right? Let's go to Romans 8. We're going to read a lot of scripture, and we get tired of reading. I'm getting tired up here. We'll just quit. We're going to have the Lord's Supper. Now, reading in verse 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. So you've got to be led by the Spirit of God. Always coincides with the Word. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but have received the spirit of adoption whereby you cry, Our Father, Father, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness to our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, and heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be we suffer with him, that we may be glorified together, also glorified together. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of creation waits for the manifestation of the sons of God. Now you see, the manifestation is down the road. So therefore there was a great manifestation. Now there's a manifestation concerning us. Now there's a further manifestation. Now the great manifestation, what we're looking for, is the adoption of children into the resurrection when we made it. But in the meantime, there's a manifestation right here which is suffering. The rest of them suffer too. But they're not suffering for Christ. Now let's go back again very carefully. If this message indicates only true believers worshiping the true God, then who are the rest worshiping? Because Brother Branham said, the very God that you say you worship is going to destroy you. Now, don't go around making everybody serpent seed and trying to get a chip on your shoulder and try to start a fight. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about insight, spiritual insight and understanding. Not something else. This is not no time for a brawl or a Donnybrook or any starting any kind of a thing. This is something between the bride and Christ. Just learn to walk on. For creation itself was made subject to vanity, not willingly, by reason he was subject to the same in hope. Because the creation itself shall be delivered from bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God, or into that what we're coming to. For we know that the whole creation groans and travails in pain together till now. And not only they, but ourselves fosters have the first spirit. In other words, we got the resurrection spirit in us. Even we ourselves groaning ourselves, waiting for the adoption to it, the redemption of the body. All right? Now, Hebrews the 12th chapter. And verse 1. Therefore, seeing we also come to so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which easily besets us, and run with patience the race set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despised the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Then it says, endure correction. All right? With that, we can go to 1 John, the 3rd chapter, and 7 to 12. Let's read it. Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. All right, you know what that is. He gets a little later on there. He that committeth sin is the devil, for the devil sinned from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. He was brought into full view that the devil's word and the devil's worship of God would no longer hold. Now you'll find that's what this is all about. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin. For he seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he's born of God. Well, how could he? How could he enter into this unrighteous thing? How could he not know the revealed word of God? How could he therefore sin in unbelief? There's no way. Now, you've got problems with your flesh, but you won't have with this. Because this is what we're talking about, is the revelation based upon a manifestation. In this the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. Now right away that old bit in there about loveth not his brother scares everybody half to death. I don't have enough love, don't have this. Why don't you just sit and listen? Man can't. He hasn't got it in. But as God shakes him down real good and burns out of his hide, his inner hide, that stupid thing the devil puts in there. For God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of love and of courage and a sound mind. Now he said, for this is the message that you heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. The beginning, what message? What beginning is he talking about? Not as Cain, who was of the wicked one. Now that's what you're going back to. The beginning of the message of unrighteousness and righteousness. And where hatred comes from. See? What it's all about. Not as Cain was the wicked one and slew his brother. And wherefore slew he him? Because his own works were evil and his brother's righteous. So therefore the works of Cain, which was to worship God in self understandings, self-confidence, in his own way, turned down the revelation. That was the unrighteous work. And Abel's work was the righteous work. Based upon a true revelation that he acceded to. He accepted and he followed it. He said, this is the revealed will of God. Now listen, if Abel had not even made the sacrifice the right way, but he would. He accepted the revelation. And the reason he made the sacrifice the right way was because he accepted the revelation. And the reason that Cain went the wrong way is because he wouldn't accept the revelation. He followed his mother, who turned down the revelation of God and went her way instead of the revelation of God. And Brother Hall brought it very beautifully that Sunday morning with us concerning the Word. So there we see here a manifestation where righteousness comes to the fore based upon a revelation. Upon this rock will I build my church, and the gates of hell cannot prevail. Then something has to follow the revelation. Because a revelation in itself is not sufficient. True. Because God was not God until he made somebody. Or something. So God was perfect in his understanding, his wisdom, his omniscience, and his omnipotence. But it meant nothing to him personally, until somebody was there to make the decisions. So he began creating. Now, what is the first thing? The devil rose up against revelation. The beast rose up against revelation. Cain rose up against revelation. The Pharisees rose up against revelation. And the people are rising up against revelation, always have and always will. And I know that seems like something very disinteresting and not enough proof. But if God proved himself in this last hour, this is it. And this is what you must work the works of God with, is to believe him whom God sent. And what do you want? You still don't believe this message. I'll just be honest with you. That goes to everybody that hears this tape and looks at the cassettes. Just to tell you flat. You're still an unbeliever. You're sitting on, you're trying to sit in the fence or something. Make up your mind which way it goes. I won't hurt anybody's feelings, but that's the truth. Whether I'm a believer or not, I don't know. Whether you are, I don't know. We're doing the best we can. And I'll be honest, I'm trying to hammer this down in your brain and my brain and your heart and my heart, because there ain't no escaping it. You'll fry with it or you'll fry without it. Or you'll get to heaven with it or anything else. I don't know. But the world isn't going to have any use for you. And if God's in this thing, it'll have plenty of use for you. Because there wasn't one thing Cain could do or Eve could do after that point unless God stepped in. There's nothing Cain would ever do. The Pharisees would ever do. Nothing denomination would ever do. They don't have one part of this. And your thinking and my thinking has nothing to do with it. This is what people don't want. They don't want that simple word repentance. They'll change it every single time, like that fellow in Australia tried to pull on me, or New Zealand, Searle, at the camp. He came right behind me and I said, repentance is a change of mind. And he denied that it was. Where is he today? Tongues all around his church, right back in Pentecost. You can have it. I'm not interested. I held my peace that meeting. I'll hold it from now on. With somebody else's pulpit, I could hold my peace. Here, I don't hold any peace for anybody. I'll stand before God because I'm responsible.
Praise God.
You take me off this. You take me where I'm wrong. Show me I'm off of Scripture. One point the prophet said. There's no way, brother, sister. That flame of fire doesn't make mistakes. I can make mistakes. I can make a lot of them. I tell you, God doesn't make mistakes.
Amen.
That old jackass that Balaam was sitting on didn't make a mistake either.
Right.
If God rides to ride this old ass to market, he can do it.
Praise God.
Yeah, absolutely. God doesn't make mistakes. See? You got to have some kind of a thing to talk it and never make a mistake. There's no way. It's nothing in myself. I couldn't make mistakes. Don't ever get that idea. I make them day and night. Like Brother Brandt said, sin 1,000 times a day, backslide 1,000 times a day. All right, let's go to 1 Corinthians 12. We're talking about the church now. As in contradistinction, the bride, in contradistinction to the prophet. Okay, the 12th chapter of 1 Corinthians. This is that bride. Here's manifestation. Okay. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, wouldn't have you. You know you're Gentiles, carried away in these dumb idols. Gentiles carried in these dumb idols, even as you're led. Wherefore give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed, and no man can say Jesus is Lord but by the Holy Ghost. How can you have the Spirit of God like Israelites said they had and make Jesus the devil? Do you know they did that? Matthew 12. Come on, let's go back. Then was brought unto him one possessed with the devil. That's right after I read up here in Matthew. Up here about coming to Gentiles. With the devil, blind and dumb, and he healed him, insomuch as the blind and dumb both spake and saw, and all the people were amazed at, is not this the son of David? And the Pharisee said, this fella is not the son of David, he's the other guy. He's Beelzebub's boy, not God's boy. What do you think? You got the Holy Ghost to make this the devil, Brother Brand said? You got the Holy Ghost and you can't make Jesus Lord? For the Lord said to my Lord, sit in my right hand, you can't understand the body and God. You can't understand differences. Can't tell high priest from God himself. What's a mediator? He stands between two people. I don't understand people. It's not my job to understand. I just preach the word. Now there are diversities of gifts of the same Spirit. Different administration, same Lord. Different operations, same God. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. When God manifests, it's for your profiting. Now, if there's any gifts in the church, and God wants to manifest through those gifts. In other words, like Brother Brandon said, God came down with Moses to Egypt, and he didn't only manifest in signs and wonders, but he manifested himself by showing himself visible in the pillar of fire. Same today, they took the photograph, he said. But this is where the church itself can have gifts and things. But is given to profit. Where is the profiting today, brother, sister? Men with gifts take people right off the word.
Yeah.
Thus, I read, showed you a long time ago in communion service. You can come to church and take communion in even worse shape than when you came. I've seen people come to church and I've preached in even worse shape than that when they came. They got so mad they never came back. Well, that's their business. Thoroughly misunderstood what's going on. cause the fight, everything else. Better learn to sit still, brother. Said, this church will learn some good lessons. You learn to sit still.
Amen.
You learn to sit still. I'm warning you. Because I know what I'm talking about.
Amen.
You don't have a gift of the fivefold ministry. None of you sitting here except Brother Pete. Well, Brother Kusurik over there. But I speak concerning this pulpit where I'm standing right here at this time. Speaking to the church group here, they're a part of each other from a distance even. But I know certain things. I've been in ministry quite a long time. And there's a gift with these things, and if you haven't got it, you just haven't got it. Elders, deacons, they got to have a character. They got things about them that are wonderful. Far more than a fivefold ministry, perhaps. But a fivefold ministry is a special conduit of the Holy Ghost to bring a bride right up to the presence of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And it's not the individual that's going to do it. It's going to be God that does it.
Amen.
That's going to lead you there, but this can lead you off. Because you see, the manifestation is given to profit. And the first profiting is when you take that word and you receive that word, which is the conduit of the Holy Spirit, and moving into your life and moving back and forth. This you can be simply anointed with. See, now there's a difference then. We're seeing here, now this is just one little, I've only taken one little paragraph of three lines here in 55 minutes. So we've got a long time to look at this sermon. Maybe the Lord will be in a rapture and get us out of here. Or I might be under 6 feet of dirt, which is fine by me. I don't mind. Or they can just do what they want. When you're gone, you're gone. You're gone to a better place. Notice, manifested Christ in you, the hope of glory. That great manifested God in Christ, now Christ manifested in you. See? Now, not to manifest God, as did Jesus, but to live a life. See, to have the virtues, have the fruits, gifts, if possible. Live that good, clean life. But what makes you different is one thing, as Moses said to the people. You are different as you go in, because this God has given you a word.
Yeah.
A lot of people don't think that's enough. I got news for you. It is enough. It is enough. Because you see, their word doesn't live, but this word does live. See, we know better. All right. Next little tiny paragraph. Look. What was once God's great secret, great mysterious secret in His mind, is now put in the hearts of the believers that comprise the body of Christ. In other words, now there's a revelation in the believers' hearts. And it's only the body of Christ. Now notice, it's those who have the revelation comprise the body. See, now it goes both ways. You were predestinated to be the body, many-membered body, the bride, predestinated to that end. So therefore, you were the receptacle of a revelation, even as the prophet was predestinated to be here so he could be the receptacle or channel of God's revelation to the people. You're in the election. See? Okay? How does he do it? 1 Corinthians 2:4-8. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and the power. Paul had a vindicated ministry. That your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. And you know his ministry was just like Brother Branham's? When he went to a certain heathen city, they fell down and said, this is God, and they worshiped him. And they rent their clothes and said, don't do that. A woman fell at Brother Branham's feet and said, my Lord and my God. People called him, made Brother Branham Jesus Christ incarnate once more. Made him that. Needy group, needy bunch. John fell on his face to worship a prophet. A prophet revealed the book to by vision to John. It wasn't face to face like William Branham and Paul. Don't ever think so. Huh? It wasn't. Even like Ezekiel. He saw visions of God. I don't know about a face to face. You get it? Moses, Paul, William Branham? If this is true. We're on pretty holy ground. Certainly controversial. No controversy for us, though. We're just believers. That your faith should not stand the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. How be we speak the wisdom among them that are perfect? See, they're real apostles, disciples. Yet not the wisdom of the world, nor the prince of this world that come to nothing. But we speak the wisdom of God, the mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world under our glory. Now, why does he say he's got a revelation of the hidden wisdom and it's still hidden? Because only certain people can get it. It's hidden from the wise and the prudent, revealed to the babes, the sponges, the kids that haven't learned in the first place. That's why you got to become a child to enter the kingdom, to know a thing about it. You got to relearn. Which none of the princes were, nor had they known that would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Okay? That great secret is now in the body of Christ. What was once God's great secret in his mind before the foundation of the world is now made manifest. Now that word now can go two ways. It can go historically, as Brother Branham is going back to the time of God in Christ in human flesh, or it can be right now, God in human flesh again and a prophet, manifested so, and it's both. Because Alpha is Omega. This could be back when Christ was on earth as the flesh body. Now, what was once God's great secret in his mind before the foundation of the world is now made manifest. In other words, made perfectly known in Christ Jesus, but unperceived by most. And it's the same today. He's still veiled behind human flesh, though he's brought out in the open for all to see, but only the elect will see. Now let's look at Colossians, the 3rd chapter, and the 4th verse. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, make himself perfectly known in his true character, then shall you also appear with him in glory. You'll be known in your true character, in that same glory. You're a part of it. See? That's what Paul spoke up for the end time. 2 Corinthians. All right, with that we go to 1 John, the 3rd chapter, and verse 2. The same thing, we know what that is. It tells us, beloved, now we're the sons of God, and it hath never come into existence what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, and his true character be manifested, we'll be like him, because we're going to see him as he is. We're going to see the real God really manifested.
Praise God.
And you better believe he wasn't three, he's one. And you better believe he's not the one described by creeds and dogmas out there in this great love, love, love bit, which is wonderful. I wish the world would just love each other. They'd say, make love, not war. But you know what they want there? They want sex. They don't want to just lay down their swords. They still got the dog-eat-dog, filthy spirit of hell on them. But he had a real nice church spirit on him. Like, let's say, Christian Science, Unity. We won't take Pentecost in this because too many rabid women in there. We can't stand that. Can't buy that for 1 minute. I know too much about it. They got that sweet spirit of hell. You know what they believe? I'll tell you what, you can catch more flies with a drop of honey than a cup of vinegar. They're fly catchers. Don't think they're not, brothers. And I'm talking now about not women as much as the churches themselves. God's great secret made manifest. Think of it. And I'm sure we don't get it. Well, I can't see it the way I ought to, and I'm sure you don't. What's he saying? This mystery is of such depth that you just believe it. That's it. Now, this revelation that Brother Branham is talking about, based on his text of Colossians 1, brings us to this question pertaining to revelation that Brother Branham brought us. If I had a choice of the Bible or Brother Branham's sermons, I was forced to make a choice, what would I take? Now, I know the good scholars and the fine Christians say, well, Brother Bill, I'd take this Bible. Well, you go ahead and take it. I won't. Because if Brother Branham did not preach this Bible for our hour, then boy, we sure been led down the primrose path. And if he did preach the present truth for this hour, then without those sermons, this will not obtain. One day, my good buddy Joe Ratzlaby, he's grown in grace, and I must admit I'm very proud of him. The growth that I've seen, and nothing to do with me, of course. That has to do with him. So Joe, he sort of challenged Joe. He said, "Trouble with you, Joe? Well, this is not the spoken word books, but it's the manuscript on it." He said, "Trouble with you, Joe, is," he said, "you take this," he said, "equal to this," he said, "you make this equal to the Bible." Joe said, "Sure, that's right, I do that." He said, "Why shouldn't I? The prophet is the living word of God made manifest." Amen. And the boy standing there said, "That's blasphemy, that's blasphemy, that's blasphemy." That's what the prophet himself said. What do they think anyway? Brother, sister, do you realize what I'm saying tonight? Is it sinking in? If you had your choice, I'm going to tell you something. I'm almost exclusively in these sermons, so I do not disregard this because I know this came out of this. And therefore, because of this, I'm into this. And I'm into this right. Which I wouldn't be if I wasn't into this. Which, of course, is the manuscript of Brother Bannon's sermons. So I thought Joe did very well. Another fellow said to him, I won't mention who it was, but you could maybe guess it. He said, "You know, I had a dream last night about snakes." And he said, "Two snakes, and Joe, you were one of them." Well, he said, "I, brother, had a dream last night, too, about my Lord Jesus Christ." And he did, it's the truth. And he came to the dream and said, "Joe, what would you like? Ask me just one thing, Lord. Just draw me closer to you." He said, "Brother, you may dream about your snakes. I will dream about my Jesus." Brother, if this message can do that to a man, you better believe I don't want to be too hard behind that man. I want to be right alongside with him. Okay. So you can see why I love some of these brethren, not more than anybody here in the church, but you can see why I love the brethren, period. Because I can see something there that I can't see elsewhere, and I've been around a long time, and I don't want to be around much longer, to tell you the truth, but that's up to God. But God's great mystery, what the eternal God had as a mystery, has now been unfolded in Jesus Christ. That word "now" again fits in both places. Because you got the seals, and you got the thunders, and they've got to unfold. And there's nobody going to do it but Jesus the Christ, that great anointing. Remember, that pillar of fire was that anointing that came out from God, surrounding God. The revelation. Okay. But God's great mystery, what the eternal God had as a mystery, has now been unfolded in Jesus Christ, then was given out down, from head down, given out down to his church, and of course into his church. What was once in God's mind is now in the body of Christ. And that's today, because that is a complete revelation that wasn't given fully at the time of the Lord Jesus Christ. It fully revealed God, yes, but not everything is pertaining to what God was doing and about to do. Now, what was he doing? Handing the revelation down, building a bride, according to Ephesians, the 4th chapter. 4 and 16, let's read it. You got a ministry. And we've read this so many times, we don't have to read other than just the old verse here about. Now it says that this ministry is given to bring us to unity, the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, that's concluded, finished, to the full measure. The times the Gentiles run out. And that's one of the fivefold ministries, right to this point. They don't run out, they're right here. Bringing what the prophet gave us to bring, that henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine, I see, and sleight of men, and cunning crafts whereby they lie in wait to deceive the false prophets. This is what it's all about, is to keep you from error. Not to rectify the fruit and all those things, that's always been there. To get rid of the error, to get you back to God, to get you restored. but holding the truth in love, may grow up unto him in all things, which is head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compact, which every joint supplies, according to the effectual working, the measure of every part, make it increase the body, and the edifying itself in love. Tells you right there. Okay. Jesus making love to the church. What Jesus? Holy Spirit. Jehovah Savior. His bride, whispering secrets to her. The secret things belong to the Lord our God, but those things revealed to us belong unto us and to our children for 1,000 generations. That's good. That's Deuteronomy. What about over here now in Amos? That's the third chapter in the 7th verse, I guess, what we want. Surely the Lord will do nothing, but he reveals his secret unto his servants, the prophets. What's God doing by a prophet giving you secrets? You know, you tell your wife things you know, the little girl that you're going to marry. You love her so much, you just tell her the secrets and get her up next to you and love her and everything, and you know how it is. That's what God, Christ, is doing to the church, see? He's letting her know the secrets, just the secrets, not these furters. I mean his wife, see? All right, now look. All right, now look, he says here, this mystery was given out and down to the church. This hour, the whole 2,000 years, and what was in the Old Testament as pertaining to this, is all in light today. And God himself has appeared, taking his picture on 2 occasions. Especially the pillar of fire there, many and different occasions. See? Okay. Now, this is Exodus time. And so as with Moses and Israel, God is manifesting himself for what reason? To gain favor with the bride. See, God giving secrets, but first gaining confidence so she recognizes who he is, who the mate is. And on recognition, she doesn't say, that's the devil, that's ESP. That's fortune telling. That's Beelzebub. That's mental tippity. She doesn't say that. She said, that's God. Like the owner of the well. We say, well, she didn't have much to boast about. Well, I suppose that makes you somebody. What she did, she had the guts to do. You just think about it. I was a dirty crack, wasn't it? I'm a professional in giving dirty cracks. See, I know my own heart. What other men did sexually, I just didn't have the guts to do it. Where men went out and clobbered and mugged old ladies, I didn't have the guts to do it. I'm not happy I'm not unhappy I didn't do it. I want you to understand that. I'm glad I had one wife, one woman all my life. As far as I'm concerned, I think a lot of this stuff is men are just stupid. Yeah. And women are just as nuts. There's no need for this hogwash going on at all. There's no need for it. God's going to judge the word, brother, sister. Don't think he's not going to do it. You're not just... This woman, she's a nasty woman. She wasn't nasty. She didn't know any better. But as soon as the light struck, she's a million miles ahead of those that were nice, nice people. Or thought they were. She never killed Christ. They did. There's a lot of folk out there don't even know about them, like in those days back there. They're not the Christ killers. It's the church, the nice people. Because they crucified themselves, the Son of God, afresh. Put them in open shame. Deny the very Lord that brought them. Say, that's the devil. That's something else. I'm quoting scripture. That's from Peter. See? That's what God, Christ, is doing to the church. The anointing, the eagle anointing, is back. The anointed one himself. Now, by having the revelation of his spirit, a secret rather, made known to them by his grace, the grace of God. Now, it's all by grace. Remember, that's why we don't have any preeminence over anybody else. People, I know it. I hope you don't think this sounds personal to a bunch of people, like people in my church, he said, my group of folk. Or this, that. But the secret is what God is sharing with the whole church, if they would just receive it. See, he came under his own received not. But many as received him, them gave him the authority to be the sons of God. Not to become, but to be placed and shown to be. Yeah. See? Remember, the light shines in darkness, and the darkness doesn't want it. We'll see more about that later on. Okay. It doesn't mean just you or just me or just you. It means the church that he's trying to get into. He's outside the church trying to get in. And you say, well, why don't they receive it? They can't receive it. Well, why couldn't they? Because Isaiah says they can't see it. You got to be ordained to it. You can no more be a prophet unless you're ordained to it, and you can no more be bride unless you're ordained to it. And if you're ordained to either one, you'll get it. Don't worry. And if you're not ordained, you're not going to get it. See? The prophet Paul said in the last days the people would be heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure, more than lovers of God. Truce breakers. What's a truce breaker? A fellow that starts war already or over again when a covenant of peace has been announced. Yeah. So what's the people? They're at war, they're at war with God. Christ is no longer their peace. Why? They turn him down. Make him the devil. So the war is back on again. We are in a state of war right now, brother, sister. That's why God, like a warrior, mad, angry, his eyes full of blood, the desire for blood, is going to come down here and destroy. Without pity. You better believe it. Because the judge becomes the executor. He doesn't appoint an executor. He becomes the executor. Right now, judgment lies in the hands of the prophet and those that preach this message. And all they can do is tell about it. Judgment's in the land.
Yeah.
The sixth seal is open. Don't worry. It was open some time ago. Hitler was in on part of it. It was all there. Just that seventh seal was waiting. And remember, the event has to happen before it's clearly understood. And by that time, it's too late for the devil or anything about it.
Yeah.
Takes a prophet to give us those keys. Truth breakers. You can read Revelation 19 plus 11. You want to in Isaiah 61 and 1 where it tells you. We are now at war with God. Let's look at this. Just a minute. Let's go back to Romans. Let's just talk about this a second. What time we got there, Brother John? 20 minutes? We won't maybe finish. We'll just cut this off pretty quick here. Come back to this scripture. Chapter 5 of Romans. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. What if you make him the devil? How much peace you got? What if you turn him down? How much peace have you got? You haven't got any. The fight's back on. God's once more at war. Revelation 19. You think not? Watch and find out. Watch and find out. Verse 11, I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon it was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness shall the judge and make war. His eyes were a flame of fire, and his head many crowns. He had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed in vesture dipped in blood, and his name was called the Word of God. The armies which were in heaven fall on white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goes a sharp sword, with it smite the nations, and rule them with a rod of iron, and treadeth the winepress the fierce wrath of Almighty God. And on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And the blood flows to the horse's bridles. Whether that's a figure of speech, I don't know, but it lets you know the blood's going to flow. War is declared, brother, sister. He already tells you. War in heaven. Satan's kicked out. Bride goes up. God says truth breakers. At the end time. Heady high-minded, is he having a form of godliness, but denying the authority thereof. Denying the word, the power. From such turn away, for this is the kind that goes out to lead silly women laden with divers lusts, with short hair, bobbed hair, shorts and bobbed hair and everything else, led away with their divers lusts. And say, oh, it's all right. They're crazy out there. Don't pay attention. Never able to come to the knowledge of truth. That's what Revelation says. They're wretched, miserable, blind, and think they're happy and everything else is wonderful. It's just wonderful. Now watch. These men resisted it. Two cases now here. These men, the Pharisees, resisted it back there, but this could only happen in this hour when you talk about Jannes and Jambres. Because nobody on the field performed miracles outside of Jesus and his apostles and that one anointed man called Judas, which was a devil. Well, there were a few doing it. They'd commissioned. But this is for this time. These men resisted it, this saying here, this scripture, had Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses. Well, let's read that. 2 Timothy 3, 1 to 9. Know this also, in the last days perilous times shall come. For men be lovers themselves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truth breakers. They disrupt the peace of God in the earth, take it plumb away. False accusers, incontinent, fierce, despise those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure, more lovers of God. What lovers of pleasure? What pleasure? Egyptian, Babylonian. Having a form of God, denying the power of such, turn away. then it says down here, verse 7, ever learning, never able to come to knowledge of truth. Now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist truth right in this hour. Now who are they? Men of miracle power anointed. Men rising up from the Pentecostal ranks. And invaded every church, Lutheran, Baptist, Methodist. Oh, heavy in the Catholics. Very heavy. Very heavy, very charismatic. Signs and wonders. They said, that's not that, what that William Branham. Oh, he got smeared across the road. Goody, goody gumdrops. He needed it. That sheep, that false prophet. That was the oneness bunch said that. One of their pastors did. That false prophet. The man that led him back to Pentecost, David Duplessis. Why, he said that judge, he got judged himself. Speak your indignities. Speak your prophet. Don't know what they're doing. Brothers, this is serious. See, God's got to do something to narrow it down. He won't wink at ignorance anymore. He could. But soon as light comes, that's a different story. Then how could God possibly judge this word without a prophetic revelation? No way! That's just common sense. You can't beat a man over the head if he doesn't know something. And you can't destroy the righteous with the wicked. You gotta do something about them. And you saw it. Genesis 18. You saw it in John chapter 1. John the Baptist. You see it now. You saw it in Moses' day. You saw it in Noah's day. God doesn't do things indiscriminately. And the secret things he reveals to prophets. So there's no more secret anymore. It's that simple. Resist the Jannes and Jambres. They're able to produce a church, a group of people. But their folly will be made manifest when Jesus takes his bride and sets her up here and says, this is she, and goes away with her. That's right. Their folly will be made known. Now watch. He's telling you something. They too, like us, will learn after the fact. We didn't know there's a prophet in the land. We didn't know the Lord descended with a shout. We didn't know there's a message. We didn't know this was the appearing. We didn't know these things. The Son of Man, we didn't know these things. But when he told us, we knew them because we believed them. And faith, simple faith, is going more to compound faith with his knowledge. What faith can produce, that brings you to a knowledge. They learn after the fact, even as we. Now notice Brother Branham's consistent pointing to this age, the Omega of the Alpha principle, the Alpha and Omega principle, lets us realize the secret of God in flesh 2,000 years ago is now going on for this age and climaxing in the complete revelation of 1 Corinthians 13 and 9, when that which is perfect is come, that in part is done away. And once more, God in human flesh, not in a multiple numbered bride or membered bride, but in one member of that bride. Because God is still in the prophets. You know, people don't like that. No, heaven forbid, that's all done with. But they'll elect the Pope and say he's God to the people, then God would have to be in it. that elect the Protestants elect some presbyter or some, you know, elder, some president, some pope, he's a pope. They'll give him the authority as though he's got the great wisdom. But you know who they'll, you know who'll do it? It's the people who gives them that power. I'm not against Brother Branham. He feel very sorry for people, you know. I don't feel so sorry because I've learned one thing. I'm the guy that cuts my nose off to spite my faith. I'm the guy that gets me into trouble. Not my wife. I just make her think she does. Or try to make her think she does. She does. She's smarter than that. She's a psychiatric nurse. That's a merit. Take care of this nut up here. Does a good job, too. But, you know, people are crazy that way. See? Sure, I can be sorry for people like Brother Branham. But look, who elects that pope? Who pays for those grease candles and gives that money? Who bows down when they know better? Amongst the Protestants, the same thing. They do. There wouldn't be any hierarchy if men didn't vote them in. That's where Israel made them say, give us a man, give us a man, give us a man. We want a leader, but we don't want God. You got the same thing right now. You mean to tell me that I'm going to be a nice guy now and get you off the hook? Forget it. I can't get off the hook myself unless God does something for me. Stupid is what spoofer does. Brainless is what brainless does. Unspiritual is what unspiritual does. What do you want, a man? You want God. Well, say, well, we'll vote a man. We'll take a man. We'll vote him. No, you won't. You'll take the man God gives you. A man sent for God, you get nothing. I can tell you something. God will send a cow to a cow. That's fine. Well, I can believe that. He'll send a horse to a horse. That's fine. But he won't send a man to a man. Because unless he sent me, I'd know something's wrong. That's man. That's man. Every time that's man. Something's wrong, brother, sister. Something's wrong. It's too bad it's wrong, but that's the way it is. Look, having the revelation of this secret made known to them by his grace. It's all by grace, see? Now look, when this great revelation revealed mystery is made known to you, then you denounce the things of the world. What did Paul say about the mystery known to him? He said, everything I learned is just dung. Forget it. It hasn't got a thing to do with this. Then forget your traditions. It hasn't got a thing to do with this. And if you're still interpreting what Brother Branham said in your own thinking, you're wrong. You're wrong. I'll look at every single one of you and tell you in your faces, you're wrong. I learned this 15 years, I learned this 20, more than 20 years ago. Because I sat with him. And I knew that I wasn't listening. With his understanding, I was listening with mine. And it doesn't do one bit of good. This is the hour to repent with me, to change your mind like a pair of dirty socks. And please don't try to wash your stinking socks, burn them. You're not going to get anywhere with God, this an attitude, any other than that. When God speaks from heaven one more time, the one doesn't speak from heaven, he speaks on earth, because that's where the thunders are. That's where the seals are open, right here, open to us. Everything is shaken down. Spiritually speaking, what is shaken down? Everything that man has as the word of God, which is not the word of God, because God and his word alone remains. And the Bible says, thou remainest, O God, and he stands behind his word. So therefore, if you're going to deal with God, you better start dealing with the word. That's why I say you're going to deal with love. You've got to get to the word. Right? Same with me. Look, brother, sister. If we never make it, there's one thing, there's a bride out there. There's going to be absolutely glorious and wonderful because we're preaching the truth here that we haven't got in our hearts, but she has, and that truth is going to come forth. And I'm telling what I know from this prophetic message, linked up with taking it out of here, getting an understanding from some source somewhere, that bride is without spot and without wrinkle, and she's all glorious within and without. And God loves her, and he's going to raise her up and say, this is she. Say, that's it. And ain't nobody going to know until Mount Zion showdown. You or me or they. But by thoughts of grace we believe. And every evidence that we could possibly take on our side we have taken to our hearts, that this indeed was the prophet of God, that indeed was the Christ. What came from his mouth indeed was the shout or that message which brought restoration. This indeed is that which 2,000 years have looked for and 4,000 years before that. This indeed is the completion. All the parts have come together. It is all over. How many years to go? I don't know. It doesn't matter. As the prophet said, 10, 2,500, maybe yet tomorrow morning. I don't know. But he said, everything you need has been revealed to put you in that rapture. There is somebody going to be in that rapture based upon thus saith the Lord, the word of the living God. A predestinated people are not going to miss it any more than Jesus did. There's no way. No more than when there was no time when thus saith the Lord came forth. It wasn't thus saith the Lord, 100%. They're not going to miss it. If we're not bride, there's a bride out there. But with thoughts of grace, and giving him the preeminence, and knowing who he is, to our limited degree and our ability, and understanding as far as we can go, and believing with all our hearts, live or die, sink or swim, there's no place else to go. Where could we go? What can you say? You can say, this is all I have. Nothing in my hands I bring, simply to the revelation I cling. So I'm going to cling to the cross. Brother, sister, the cross has been done and gone. 2,000 years ago paid its part. Because if you don't walk in that light, the blood will not cleanse you. That's the scripture. That's not what I'm trying to say. I wouldn't say that for anything. I'd be an old Baptist. Old Pentecostal, chug-a-lug, oh yeah. When the light shines, it's a different story entirely. Darkness has got to go. Because in him is no darkness. But it's all light. The bride is full of light tonight by the grace of Almighty God. Well, the Lord bless you. It took a little longer than I intended, but just about completely through. So we just bow our heads in prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, again, Lord, we just thank you for the time we come together here, spending time, taking all the time, Lord, because we know that there's all the time to be taken. And what better time to come together and just fellowship, sort of talk it out, like a little communication one with another. No one above anybody, no, but all together in this thing. Looking at this word of life, handling this word, Lord, by revelation. And our fellowship is with you. Oh God, we don't get the depth that the prophet didn't get the depth with vision and the stark reality, that just literally a nakedness of God and the nakedness of man standing there. Standing just looking at each other. Then, Lord, we're satisfied with what we got. Knowing that everything is in your hands. You'll bring it all to pass within us because that's what the word is all about. And Lord, if we're not that bride, at least, Lord, we believe that we're friends of the bride and we're happy for her because we believe this is the truth. Follow scripture word by word. Help us, Lord, to just have a real sweet spirit amongst us now as never before, to just go on loving, being loved of you, loving you, loving each other. Faith in our hearts for each other. Believing powerfully as never before. God, help us to worship you in spirit and in truth. And the wonderment and the love of God as brothers and sisters in Christ. And unto you we'll give all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Just read the scripture.